It's Paul Smolin, MD, your PEDcast host, bringing you informative and entertaining knowledge on a wide range of parenting and child health topics. You have parenting questions. He has answers. It's portable, practical pediatrics on your schedule. And here is your PEDcast host, Dr. Paul Smolin.
Welcome to another edition of DocSmo.com. I'm your host, Dr. Paul Smolin. You know, DocSmo. And it is my pleasure to have as my guest once again, Dr. John Simpson, a PhD clinical psychologist with decades and decades and decades of experience helping children and families. Now, today we're going to explore with Dr. Simpson some of the emotional issues for children with regards to a move, a change in location. This is a big, big deal. If you've ever moved as a child, you can really relate to this. So we're going to get some of Dr. Simpson's experience how to help children with this event. So, Dr. Simpson, are you there?
I'm here.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today. Let's get right into it. I perceive a move for a child as a very stressful thing, and I'm sure you get involved in when they're not dealing so great with stress. How do you see a move for a child relative to other types of stress that children experience? How intense is this?
Well, I think it's very intense. I think part of the issue is that in many cases, children have to deal with some very ambivalent feelings about moving. Some people move for some very good reasons. I mean, their parents have bought a bigger home. There's a promotion. They may be leaving town. But for a child, they're very much a passive participant in all this. And so while they are surrounded by happiness and enjoyment in some cases, they have some very mixed feelings about this whole change process.
Yeah, change is always difficult for everybody, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So what you're saying is maybe there are good moves. Dad got a promotion, moving to a new town, going to be closer to grandma, versus some not so good moves. Parents are splitting up or something, or
the not so good moves. Yes, parents splitting up, something bad happening. The not so good moves are actually sometimes easier to understand because nobody is happy in a not so good move. The child, the parents, nobody. It's the good moves that can be a bit more confusing, and that I think is where parents can be of greater help, not only by their understanding, but by their willingness to make the move more understandable and predictable for the child.
So talk. Talk is always good.
Talk is good. Pictures are good. Pictures are good. I mean, the child knows where he or she has been living. It might be nice to have a picture of where I'm going.
Right.
What is it going to look like? What does my room look like?
Yeah. Do you see many situations where maybe a parent brings a child perceiving there's a problem adjusting to a move, but really the problem is the parent, that they're reacting more than the child?
Not just reacting more, but almost sometimes trying to sell the child on what a wonderful move this is without realizing that to the child, this is just one more unpredictable change in life.
Right. So the kids need as much control as possible, and they need to have their feelings heard. Is that what you're saying?
They need to have their feelings heard. They also just need to have them understood that the adults comprehend the meaning of this move in a far different way than do the children.
Right. Because it's true. Okay, well, can you give us some idea of some of your experiences with children who have been moving and how they cope or don't cope?
Well, I think as we were talking a few minutes ago, there are different types of moves. If you're moving in town, it may seem like a relatively painless, simple process, but to a child, this may often mean a new school, a different neighborhood, new friends, perhaps a different traffic pattern on the way to school. There are lots of changes that are important for a child that parents may or may not realize. For a parent, it's a simple matter of driving 2 or 3 miles in a different direction. For a child, it may as well be across the other side of the country, because 2 or 3 miles to a child is a really long way. They don't do this by themselves. So I think parents need to be aware of the fact that a new school, new surroundings, new neighborhood, new people, all this is going to make a difference. And at times, if it's in town, try to find ways to maintain ties to old friends. Invite them over. Make the move as pain-free as possible by adding some elements of constancy back into a life that is changing very rapidly right then.
Yeah, well, a child, if you think about it, when they change schools, they got to start, they got to prove themselves all over again, make, you know, all new friendships. Boys have to prove that they're can withstand whatever boys throw at boys, and girls, whatever girls have to do with girls. I don't know. I was never a little girl, so I don't really understand
that. But I think that's good.
Yeah. So, but it can be a positive experience, right? I mean, this
with some effort, it can be a very positive experience. As I said, you pointed out, I think it depends on the age of the child. First graders don't have as much proving to do, but you put them in it as a seventh grader in a middle school or junior high school, it's a whole different situation. So it's important for parents to realize what the challenges are going to be of a child switching their peer groups, going to a new school, and all that goes with that.
Yeah, I remember, I guess you probably have the same memories, every time I would go from one school to another without a move, that was a difficult thing.
Absolutely.
Then you add a move on top of it, and you've like quadrupled the amount of stress that goes on.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to learn all kinds of new things about your new surroundings.
Right. So are there danger signs that a parent should be looking for if their child has moved and they're not coping well?
Well, initially I'd look for indications of elevated anxiety. I'd look for some difficulty sleeping, maybe some increased emotionality. At times, if the child is verbal enough, some comments about the fact that it's been difficult, that they miss the old neighborhood or old friends or a teacher or something like that. But children have ways of indicating that their adjustment is not going as smoothly by changes in their usual daily patterns of behavior.
Yeah, so yes. Regressing.
Yeah, somewhat, but you know, the increased emotionality. If it's a prolonged process, one might be more likely to see indicators of depression, more social withdrawal, decreasing interest in what had been preferred activities, more problems dealing with peers, more difficulty dealing with school, not just peers at school, but schoolwork itself. Suddenly, there may be a drop in school performance in areas where it had always been easier. And I think these are the kind of things that for.
Yes. Now, one of the concepts that I've talked about before on my blog is what I call receptive moments and vulnerable moments. I believe that there are moments in a child's life where they're particularly vulnerable to a stress, and also where they're particularly receptive to a message. And there's no rhyme or reason to this, in some regards. But are there certain age children that are more vulnerable to feeling the effects of moving than other age children?
Well, I believe that once they get to become school age, they're more vulnerable, particularly middle, upper elementary grades, and certainly junior high school, because they do have established peer groups, and often those peer groups are based at school.
Yeah.
Children, preschoolers and younger, may spend a lot more time at home, and you know, adapting in that way may be a matter of just finding new people to play with rather than more established social relationships. So, yes, I mean, from, let's say, third grade on up, yeah, I would begin to look for some more difficulty dealing with a move and the disruption that it causes.
Okay. So give us your best practical tips for parents when they contemplate a movie that's coming up and they want to minimize the stress for their kids, what would you suggest that they do?
I think the first thing is to to eventually minimize the stress, is the first thing is to acknowledge the stress, that this is difficult, that it's painful. Parents do reflexively a really good job trying to sell their children on what a wonderful thing this is going to be. And perhaps it will be in the future, but to a child right then, it's a great unknown. The idea of a bigger home is not necessarily a great selling point for a child. So being able to acknowledge it, yes, this is a difficult process, is important. Secondly, I think it's important to acknowledge that we are in this together, that we are here to help, and we will do what we can to help make the move easier, particularly if we understand what's most concerning to you about the move. So, you know, for children, it can be something as simple as, what's my new room going to look like? Okay, let's take a picture of your new room. Let's discuss how you want to decorate it. How can you personalize it and make it your own? It gives the child some sense of agency, some sense of control in life when it feels very out of control at that moment. Yes, I think it's good to talk about the other new parts of life that mom and dad are going to help the child explore and discover. The new school, where the friends are, if there's a neighborhood swimming pool, where that may be, all kinds of things that a child may want to know about.
Right, maybe praising the child for overcoming some perceived obstacle. You know, it was great. You did a great job. You know, you moved in, you made a friend, that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Just even praising the child for acknowledging that, yes, this is difficult, and being able to talk about the parts that are more difficult, because some of those may be completely unexpected by the parents, but they're very, very important to the child. I mean, if the child happens to be an athlete, and this child has always played baseball, finding out where a convenient baseball league may be could be very important to that child.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, Dr. Simpson, I want to thank you for your insights. They're always great. Hopefully my listeners enjoyed your discussion as much as I did.
Well, I've enjoyed being with you.
Well, it's always fun. We have a good time. Of course, comments are welcome to the blog for our listeners. Please feel to write in questions to myself or Dr. Simpson. This is Doc Smo, hoping you can help get your child into the groove when your family contemplates their next move. Until next time.
I would like to thank the following people for their assistance in the production of this podcast. Dr. David Jaffe, the voice of the introduction. Robert Beezer, the composer-arranger of the intro music. Ann Gesner, my wonderful content editor. Benjamin Smolin and Jerome Moof, the talented musicians who produced this delightful theme music. Sarah Smolin and Nathaniel Horlick for their digital wizardry. And Wendy Smolin Esquire and Seth, the Rocket Man Barrister Jaffe, for their inspirational guidance. Thanks, guys.
By listening to this podcast, you agree to all of the terms and conditions found at the DocSmo.com website. This DocSmo.com podcast is informational only. Dr. Smolin does not diagnose, treat, or offer specific medical advice for your child. For specific medical advice regarding your child, consult his or her healthcare provider.